Before we get back to our interview with Sundiata, let's hear a track from his 1997 CD, The Blue Oneness of Dreams. This is his poem, Shout Out.
Nia Imani Kujajakalia. Here's to the best words in the right place at the perfect time, to the human mind blown up and refined, to long conversations and the philosophical ramifications of a beautiful day, to the 12 steppers at the 13th step, may they never forget the first step, to the increase, to the decrease, to the do, to the do, to the did, to the did, to the do, to the did, to the done, done, to the lonely, to the brokenhearted, to the new blue haiku. Here's to all or nothing at all. Here's to the sick and the shut in. Here's to the was you been, to the is you in, to what's deep and deep, to what's down and down, to the lost and the blind and the almost found. To the crazy, the lazy, the bored, the ignored, the beginners, the sinners, the losers, the winners, to the smooth and the cool, and even to the fools. Here's to your ex-best friend. To the rule benders and the repeat offenders. To the lovers and the troublers, the engaging, the enraging, to the healers and the feelers and the fixers and the tricksters, to a star falling through a dream, to a dream when you know what it means, to the bottom, to the root, to the base, boom, to the drum. Here's to the was you been, to the is you in, to what's deep and deep, to what's down and down, to the lost and the blind and the almost found. Here's to somebody within the sound of your voice this morning. Here's to somebody who can't be within the sound of your voice tonight. To a low cholesterol pig sandwich smothered in swine without the pork. To a light buzz in your head and a soundtrack in your mind going on and on and on and on and on like a good time. Here's to promises that break by themselves. Here's to the breaks with great promise. To people who don't wait in the car when you tell them to wait in the car. Here's to what you forgot and who you forgot. Here's to the unforgettable. Here's to the was you been, to the is you in, to what's deep and deep, to what's down and down, to the lost and the blind and the almost found. Here's to the hip-hoppers, the don't-stoppers, heads nodding in the digital glow of their beloved.
Let's get back to our interview with poet Sekou Sundiata. His new theater piece, Blessing the Boats, is about his kidney failure, dialysis, and kidney transplant. You were preparing for a comeback concert in New England, and you were driving to this concert, you know, after you had gotten healthy enough following your kidney transplant to start performing again. You're driving in a snowstorm through New England to get to this comeback concert, and you were in a car accident and broke your neck in the car accident. And from my understanding, you nearly died in that accident. You were trapped in the car for a couple of hours. What was going through your mind when you were in that car with a broken neck, after having just gotten through this horrible period of kidney failure, kidney transplant, post-kidney transplant surgeries, finally recover, and then you're in this horrible accident?
Well, my first thought, I mean, even as the car was sliding, you know, in the snow, was how absurd this was. You know, it just seemed stupid to me. First of all, this happened in January of 2000. I had my last surgery related to the transplant in December. I don't even know if it was a full month before the accident. So I was still in a sense recuperating from that. So I thought that was, you know, I was putting that behind me when this whole thing happened. And I remember thinking as the car was sliding off the highway that I just couldn't believe it could all come down to this. You know, it just seemed like such an absurd and silly thing, you know, to happen. And then also, I have to tell you this. You know, I think that there's no question that my life was in danger. I didn't know that my neck was broken while I was there, you know, upside down in the snow. And I didn't think anybody could see that I'd gone off the road. But I never felt that I was going to die. You know, I never felt that was it. And I don't know, there's no physical evidence to support that idea because it was a blinding snowstorm. I dropped down a slope. You could not see me from the highway. And I couldn't even hear the car, the traffic on the highway passing by. So I had no real evidence to support that. It was just a blind faith that I had that somehow this was not it. At the same time, I'd never been so alone and isolated in my life. And I don't think I never knew things could be that quiet either. And then this woman shows up, kneeling beside the car in the storm, and she has a cell phone. And she starts talking to me, and she calls 911, and, you know, she gets all of that going. And by the time the fire department arrives, this woman is gone. I never see her again. I don't know her name or any of that, but she's just gone. And from at that point on, you know, the fire department has it, and they cut me out and all of that.
Did you have any idea before all this happened to you that people could be so good, so decent?
Yeah, I did. I did. You know, and really, it's a case of knowing something for quite some time, and then something happens and you get to know it at an even deeper and more profound level. I've been fortunate in my life to just been helped and assisted by so many people, both people I've seen and then people I haven't seen, but I know that, you know, people have helped me in various ways. And, you know, I've had just an example of many examples of this kind of goodness. Having said that, it didn't diminish in any way the fact that this was seemingly out of the blue, you know, and very mysterious. I mean, she showed up and then she was gone, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that's fundamental in the human heart, you know. And I think it's probably more common than we may perceive on a day-to-day basis.
It's really lucky and amazing that after breaking your neck, you didn't end up paralyzed or partially paralyzed. You got your full movement back, right?
Yeah, it's remarkable. I started while I was trapped in the car. First thing I did was wiggle my toes and, you know, try and wiggle my fingers to see if I had function. Yeah, I was very, very fortunate.
So how long did it take you to recover from that?
Well, quite some time. At first, the doctor said I wouldn't need surgery, actually. You know, I had a huge brace on my neck. And they thought that if I wore that for 12 weeks that I would be fine, but it started to deteriorate, so I ended up having spinal fusion surgery. And the recovery time there, I think, was about maybe 8 weeks, but then in the midst of all that, I caught pneumonia, I think, as a result of the surgery. So it ended up being about, I don't know, 6 months, 7 months.
How would you describe your physical condition now?
Now I'm feeling good. I'm still at the point, though, where I'm still conditioning my body. My body is still very much out of condition. From the transplant alone, from the time I went into the hospital for the transplant and the time that I came out, about 3 weeks, I lost about 55, 60 pounds. And because I was in and out of the hospital so much that year, you know, I kept losing weight and gaining a little weight here and there. And so altogether, it's my conditioning, my physical conditioning is not where I would like it to be. So I've been working on that, you know, physical therapy. And, you know, after the first of the year, I'll be at least at the level where I can do some more serious training, perhaps with a personal trainer. My health overall is very good. I feel fine. You know, I'm doing all of the things I did before. So I'm doing well.
My guest is poet Sekou Sundiata. His new one-man show, Blessing the Boats, premieres Friday in Manhattan. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview with poet Sekou Sundiata. His new theater piece, Blessing the Boats, is about being physically transformed. He had kidney failure and a kidney transplant. Just as he was well enough to start performing again, he was in a car accident in the snow and broke his neck. He recovered from the accident without paralysis or disability. In the first interview that you did with us on Fresh Air, we were talking about performing, and you said something like, you know, the spotlight is the power spot in American culture. Like when you're on stage in front of the microphone, that's the power spot where everybody is like more, they have more charisma, they're more important, they're more sexy than anything in actual real life.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it like to be in that power spot now? On stage, but in a more like vulnerable condition, not only feeling more vulnerable, but talking about that.
Well, you know, first of all, it still has all the attachments of power to me. You know, power, and power that really I think stems from a kind of magic. You know, that it is right. It is set aside from normal everyday life, and you know it is special in that way. I think now that it's about expression while I'm there, but I also feel just a sense of you know, an overwhelming sense of gratitude to be able to do, to be in that spotlight, in a sense that here I am doing my work. You know, that's what I consider to be an important part of my work, the writing, you know, which I do essentially alone. And then this public aspect of it is something that gives me great joy and fulfillment, aside from whatever value I may think it may have out in the world. Personally, I discovered, I don't know, when I was a child, that whenever I can go into my imagination and whatever I can dig up there and then bring out, you know, it's something that gave me great joy and satisfaction, you know. And so to be able to do that again and to feel healthy and to be able to do that again is a wonderful thing.
Seika, would you be willing to perform another short excerpt from your show, Blessing the Boats?
Sure. This is a poem that comes early in the piece. And it is every time I went into the operating room, and I started going in, when I was under anesthesia, I'd always hear this music. I mean, really beautiful music. It wasn't the same music all the time, but it was just be beautiful, rapturous music. And it was so beautiful and so present that whenever I came out of anesthesia, I was sure everybody else could hear it. So I'd ask, you know, the doctors and the nurses, and nobody ever heard this music. And in most cases, they would say they didn't even play music in the operating room at the time. So this comes out of that. This poem comes out of that experience. Somewhere deep and under anesthesia, the valves of a human heart open and close, and the black scat syllables of sacred science come pouring onto a clean page turning over in my mind. The blues bat their eyes and rustle their wings. A double reed vibrates in a pure light that means all things are possible. A bow draws out a round tone across the waist of a bass. It could be the devil's note, the way it cuts through the wood and wind, bending the sound right side up, harmonizing the underworld. Whoever said the music goes into the air and then it's gone was wrong. It goes below the flesh and above the grave, where I am flat as a mesa, open as the great gorge beneath the Taos sky. I try to remember the notes by humming, but humming burns the music out of memory.
Seiko Sundiata's new theater piece, Blessing the Boats, premieres Friday and runs through the weekend at Aaron Davis Hall on the campus of City College in Manhattan. Next year, he'll take a show on the road. I'm Terry Gross.